Good morning, church. How are we all? Good, good, good. Well, interesting. Claire talked about, we've been talking about stories. Steve spoke about, or when he prayed for Katie, about chapters. Well, I actually want to talk about stories too, the power of your story. First of all, I want to thank Nigel and Andrea. And, oh, has the offering been collected?
No.
Oh, okay. The offering hasn't been collected. Come forward, ushers, and collect it. Sorry about that, everyone. Everyone's been hanging on, waiting. So while that's being done, I'll start anyway. So I just want to thank Pastor Nigel and Andrea and the leadership team here for giving me an opportunity to speak. When I say the word story, what comes to mind? Once upon a time. Yeah, once upon a time. Yeah. So we kind of think fairy tales, kids' stories. But, you know, stories are so important to us, and that's how we learn and that's how we know about things. Next time you're in a restaurant or at work, or at the gym, if you go to the gym, the playground, or just standing in line in the store, I want you to stop and listen. What do you hear? What do you hear?
Happy people.
Happy people. You hear people talking. You hear people telling their stories. Oh, do you know what happened to me this week? Da, 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 da. Do you know what happened to me last week? Do you know what my kids are doing? We hear people sharing their stories. And human civilization is based on communication through stories. Well, do you know what? Stories are God's idea. God is the one who created story, the form of the story, and us, we are story-shaped creatures. He chose stories as the primary way to show himself to creation. And telling stories is one of the most powerful ways we have to influence, teach, and to inspire. What makes a story so effective? Because it forges a connection amongst people and ideas. Stories convey culture, it conveys history, and it conveys values that unite people. Bible stories are not only set that Bible stories are very central to our faith, but it's also how we come to know about God. And they are the natural carriers of faith from one generation to the next. We all have a story to tell. The people of the Old Testament were constantly reminded of their master story, and future generations all knew that what God had done for them. We all know, if you went to Sunday school, you all had the stories about Moses in the bulrushes. We heard the story about Jericho marching around and the walls, they blew the trumpets and the walls fell down. We know about Moses and the plagues of Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, Joseph and his coat of many colors. We all know the stories, and through them, we get to know about God. Psalm 102 verse 18 says, "This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Now those stories happened when? Thousands and thousands of years ago, but they were written down for a generation yet to come. That's us. We are the generation to come. We are the generation that it speaks of, because someone has lived the story, someone told the story, someone wrote the story, and then the story was repeated generation after generation, and we are the beneficiaries. Psalm 78, I'm just going to go verse 4. "We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders that he has done." Verse 6. "So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children." The last few weeks, we've been focusing on our story, our future. And each one of our pastors has actually shared their story about how they came to be here at C3 Fremantle, C3 Fremantle Wellard. And each one of you has your story about how you came to be here. Some of you have been here for a long time. Pastor Unami spoke about those that were visionaries. Dom, Deanne, Charlie and I. Jared. I think Jared sometimes. Where's Jared? Where's Jared? I can't see him. Anyway. Jared sometimes gets missed off that list. But Jared was actually a little tiny baby. He was one of the ones that came originally. Some of you are new, only having been here for a short time. Some stay for years. Not that that's a bad thing. We want people to stay. And some are only here for a short time. Some of us have left to take our stories to other places like Katie and Wes. And each one of you has a story to tell. And it impacts me. And it impacts the other people in this church. Now, we all love stories. I know I love stories. I love reading. Reading's probably one of my favourite things to do. Just sometimes I don't have enough time to do it. Who doesn't love going to the movies? Who likes going to the movies? Why do we go to the movies? Because it's a story that's being told. How many times have you sat around chatting and lost track of time because of the stories that are told? Wesley? Yep. Charlie? Storytellers. They love telling stories. But do you know what? Every one of you has a story to be told. Sometimes we can think we don't have much of a story. I know my story is never going to be a bestseller. It's never going to make me millions of dollars. It's not going to be made into a Hollywood blockbuster. It's not going to change a government or a world. But I do have a story, and it does impact people. There is an author to your story. Someone has written your story. But the author is not you. You're not the author. You might think you are, but you're not. You have been welcomed into an epic drama, but you're not the hero. You've been given a kingdom, but you won't be the monarch. Some of us have sad stories, and some of us have great stories. But each one of us, your story has something to add to someone else. My story intercepts with your story, and it becomes our story. Psalm 139, verse 16 to 17. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. Every day of my life was recorded in his book. Every day of your life was recorded in his book. Now, some people may not. You're on a journey and you may not know him. But do you know what? God has you written in his book. So let me tell you a little bit about my story. I'm the oldest of five children from a very dysfunctional family. It's only as I've got older that I've realised quite how dysfunctional my family is. So one of five, and I actually don't have a relationship with my, well, not by my choice, not my choice, but a relationship with my brothers and sisters. One brother I do, and I celebrated his 50th birthday last night. It made me quite sad because my mum and dad weren't there and my siblings weren't there. But because of that dysfunction, God had me on a journey, and that dysfunction intercepted with God and it changed my story. So my story could be just like my siblings, just going around on their own, doing their own thing with no purpose. But God had a time when my story intercepted. So the top photo there is, my family as a when I was a child. I think I was about 6, and I'm the one in the pink with the strawberries on, looking at my mum. So, and that was in Albany. Funny, I went there for holidays, and then years later, God had me on a journey that would take me back to Albany. And then the bottom picture, that's my family. So that's my story now. So I got saved when I was 18. So a very dysfunctional time, and God intercepted. I got saved. I got married when I was 19. And at 22, God took me back to Albany. I didn't know what I was doing as a young wife and as a mum. I had Jordan in Albany. I was 27 when I had Jordan. We came back to Perth in 1996 and we had Alexander, and that's when C3 Fremantle started. Then I had Brianna when I was 34. And all that time I'd been working in the church, serving, and then at 52, God had a bit of a change in my plan. So I started a new job. I left the church, working for the church. I've travelled far and wide and I've met so many people. I've raised 3 children to adulthood who have been part of the story here. But now they've left and they've gone somewhere else to be a part of a new story. They're still part of our story, but they've gone somewhere else. Just because people leave doesn't mean that we erase them from our story, because they are essential parts of our story. Just like in a story, there's lots of different characters and they come in some chapters and then they not in another chapter and then they come back. We can't undo what's been done, but we can change the outcome and we can change the endings. Louis and Juliet, where are they? There's Louis at the back. Well, Louis and Juliet, they were part of our church, and then you know what? They left for a time, but they came back. Katie and Wes, you're leaving. Who knows where God's going to do it? He might bring you back, but he might have other plans. But the people in our world are an essential part of our story. So some people that have impacted my story are when I went to Albany, Rick and Dulcie Ladyman, who were our pastors down there. Dulcie is just such an incredible lady. She just loved on me as a young mum. And she was a mum to me. I didn't have a really great relationship with my mum, but Dulcie, and even now I still call her my mother duck. So she'll ring me up, she sends me messages. Even now, you know, I'm 55, but she still messages me to make sure that I'm doing okay. You know, our kids in Albany, we had kids in youth, we led a youth group. Those kids that we raised up are now leaders in churches. They're doing amazing things. So, what's your story? Just for a moment, think about your story. Some of us have come from other parts of the world to be here. I look around and I see the faces of so many people. Katie and Wes, Pastor and Nigel and Andrea, they're not here. Greg and Caroline, Louis and Juliet, Steve and Angela, Ben and Avina, Dorothy, Lisa, Catherine, Renska, Budgie, Bremer, you've all got a story. And every one of you, your story has impacted my story. Whether we like it or not, we are interconnected with each other because we are a community of people. We need each other, and together we become stronger in Him. And together we then make an impact and influence people outside these walls. It's not just about what happens here on a Sunday. It's about what happens when we leave this building. Port Care, for example, you know, that started with an idea. It's come together, people come together, but the impact that it has outside the walls of C3 Fremantle. Scripture always talks about community. God chose the Israelites to be his people. I don't have this scripture up. So, yeah, I think we've put some pictures up of different people that are up there. Who is it? Todd, Greg, Abriella, Ruth. You know, these are people that are part of our story. They're part of your story. Sometimes we have to take the time to stop and listen. Sometimes we're really quick to talk and tell our story, but sometimes we need to stop and listen. Leviticus 26:12. I don't have this scripture, David, but it doesn't matter. God chose the Israelites to be his people and said, I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people. We are his people, his community. They lived and they worshipped him together in a community. And then following the death of Christ, God then instituted the church, the body of Christ, as a community of believers. And that's what we have here today. Paul Tripp says in his book, Whiter Than Snow, Meditations on Sin and Mercy, we weren't created to be independent, autonomous, or self-sufficient. We were made to live in a humble, worshipful, and loving dependency upon God, and in a loving and humbled interdependency with others. Our lives were designed to be community projects. Yet the foolishness of sin tells us that we have all we need within ourselves, that we don't need anyone. So we settle for relationships that never go beneath the casual. We defend ourselves when people around us point out a weakness or a wrong. We hold our struggles within and not taking advantage of the resources God has given us, each other. Not only were we created to be in community, but we also need community, which is why your story matters. It matters to God because it's needed by others. And as little or as big as you believe your story is, God has entrusted you with it to help others and to be a blessing to those around you. Jeremiah 1 verse 5 says, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. God knew from the very beginning where you would be today. His plan is for us to be in relationship with him always. But sometimes because of ourselves, we step out of that. But you know what? God always wants to bring us back, because this is where he wants us to be, in relationship with him. Your story matters because you matter. Your story matters because it reveals God. Your story matters because people love to listen to stories. Your story matters because it's unique. It's yours alone. Your story has power, and it needs to be acknowledged, celebrated, and told. God has been present with you since before you were born. Since the time family, vocation, location, faith, conflicts, struggle, pain, and joy shaped you into the person that you are. God gives us a story to tell because he wants our story to strengthen and to bless those that hear it. Not all of us are going to be given a stage to tell our story. Not all of you will get an opportunity to stand up here and tell your story. But that doesn't matter. Tell it where you are. Sometimes our story is not just our words, but our actions. How do we live? How do we love? How do we treat people? That's part of our story. Actions speak louder than words. Some of you don't have happy stories. You might not have a happy story. Some people have come from tragic backgrounds, civil wars, wars in their countries. Some people have come from family breakdowns and dysfunction. But whether we like it or not, those things have actually shaped us to be the person we are today. And you know what? We have to embrace it, whether we like it or not. I don't like all the dysfunction in my family. I know when we first got married, I remember saying to Charlie, I am not going to be like my parents. I remember being very clear, and I even say to my kids, if I say or do anything like my mum and dad, just shoot me. You know what my kids say? They go, don't worry, mum, we've got the gun ready. Just joking. But, you know, like, it has shaped me to be who I am. But we don't have to stay that way, because God, in his grace and his mercy, can change us and shape us into the way. And he wants to use those things that make us us and make us unique to be a benefit and a blessing. Some people have got sad stories. But you know what? You don't have to hang on to it. It makes you who you are, but God actually wants you to hand it over to him. He wants you to give it to him. And that's what I had to do with my dysfunction. There came a time when I tried to carry it and I tried to be the fixer in my family. But do you know what? I couldn't do it, because it ended up hurting me and I ended up being worn out. So I had to come to a point in my life where I said, okay, Lord, I can't do it anymore. So you know what? I'm not the fixer anymore. I want to fix it, but I can't, because it's too big for me. So I've given it over to God. We aren't meant to carry all those things. And you know what? Healing doesn't happen overnight, because it didn't happen overnight for me. It took a time, it took a while. But we're not meant to be burdened. So part of your story will shape the lives of those that are around you. You know what? The fact that you haven't seen miracles or changes doesn't mean that God's not on your case. Romans 8:28. Can I have the music team up, please? Says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. God works all things. We've all been called, every single one of us. And the story's not written yet, not finished being written. You know, I just want to encourage you today that God is not done with you yet. You're not meant to be perfect overnight. Do not let your present circumstances and situation end what God has started. Remain calm and trust him that he's got you. Remember, when God is writing your story, he brings people around you that are destined to help you carry it. And this then becomes our story. My story and your story becomes our story. Can I encourage you, don't do this journey on your own. Get connected. We've got connect groups on this week. Is that right, Claire? You know what? If you're not in a connect group, join one. Get alongside people that want to help you and love you and support you. Who knows? You might just discover that you like each other. You don't know. How do you know until you take that step? You've got to keep on trying. I love this church. I really do. I love the people in it. We've been here for 25 years. you were part of my story and who I am today. I hear your stories and I know that I'm part of those stories. You bring me hope and you bring me encouragement. You bring me love and acceptance. And you are my family. This is my family. When I was praying about this message, one thing that just kept coming to me over and over was just this line, your story matters because you matter to me. Your story matters to him. Can I just ask everyone to close their eyes? Your story matters to him because you matter to him. So today, I encourage you to know your story, to love it, the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of it. Trust God with it because he knows every word that has been written, even the ones that may not have been part of his story for you. Because you know what? He hasn't finished writing it yet. He hasn't finished writing your story. The chapter is not closed. Father, I just thank you for each and every person that is here. Lord, I thank you for their stories, the ones that we still don't know. Father, I just pray that they will know that their story matters. That, Lord, you are the master story writer. And that, Father, every single one of them, you see where they're at. You know what they need. Father, I just pray that you'll just bring, they know that they're safe and secure here, Father. That there are relationships, there are people that they can trust with their story. And Father, I'm just going to leave the altar open. So if anyone wants any prayer, just feel free to come. This is a safe place. This is your family. Your story is my story. It's our story, and we're together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have not finished writing the chapters, that you are still writing our story. And Father, I just pray for each person here now that, Lord, that you will just drop into their heart that they are important and they are valued and their story matters. And that they will feel brave and strong enough to tell their story. Amen. I'm just going to hand over to Charlie.